Want to make a podcast? Spotify's got a platform that lets you make one super easily, then distribute it everywhere and even earn money. We like that. All in one place for totally free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters. And here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your cellular telephone or your computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else, those other places that podcasts are heard.
Video podcasts are also available on Spotify. And when you want to take conversations with your fans to the next level, Q&As and polls are the best way to get them talking. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. And best of all, it's totally free. Zero catch. We've been using it ever since we started How Long Gone. And ever since I discovered Spotify for Podcasters, I feel like having the option of turning off the Q&As and the polls on the user dashboard has really helped boost my creativity and take it to another level. I highly recommend giving it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started.
What's up, bitch? How are you?
Chris, I'm well. I'm adjusting back to real life after my weekend getaway.
Me too. I'm actually looking at a post of Future performing in a nightclub in Atlanta, and the first comment says, "I honestly don't think Corona is a thing anymore." But anyway, welcome back, TJ. I'm glad. I don't like you to relax too much because I need you to be in Grussel mode because How Long Gone Industries is thriving.
I know, but I did not make Christmas and my life partner's birthday all happen within 2 weeks of each other, but that's the way God dealt my cards.
I was going to say God's plan, Drake voice there. But, you know, again, I'm glad you're back.
I did have Grussel withdrawal, if that makes you happy, Chris.
It does. It makes me very happy. It warms my little grusslin' heart when TJ has Grussel withdrawal.
Yeah, when I'm not grussling, my body, it's confused. You know, my skin breaks out. My digestion is thrown off. My gut health is sacrificed.
There's nothing a probiotic can do to substitute Grussel.
Can only do so much.
I think I might have saw God this morning on the treadmill.
Is that because you have new shoes, because you heard a good song, or you reached a PR? What happened?
I think I pushed myself just a little bit too hard, and I was bordering on maybe passing out on the woodway. But, you know, I was able to recover.
When people say, "I saw God," it's usually describing like a positive moment, like a spiritual awakening. And your version of seeing God is like, "I almost died and I saw the pearly gates." And he said, "No, now is not your time, Chris."
The only gates I've seen are cemetery gates, Morrissey voice.
You wasn't with us in the cemetery, dog. I went to your cemetery. They didn't know you.
Well, I went to your cemetery. You were Keats and Yates were not on your side.
So, well, I'm glad that you are still alive. Live to pod yet another day.
I have a few breaking news items I need to bring up with my esteemed co-host. Mm-hmm. First of all, they're saying that President-elect Sleepy Joe Biden is not going to be allowed to bring his Peloton into the White House because it does have a camera and a microphone, and I think the Secret Service is concerned about that. So I just wanted to make sure you were aware that our president, who's 150 years old, could suffer from weight gain in the White House due to stress and lack of Peloton. Unfortunate.
Our president can't have it, but we can. You know, trust nobody is what I say. That's kind of fun. Why?
Exactly.
I also like that the Secret Service does not trust Joe to just simply put a piece of tape over the camera.
We'll figure out
a way to fumble that and then, you know, put our nation at risk.
This isn't your graphic designer friend who's a conspiracy theorist who buys a new MacBook Pro and quickly puts a piece of gaff tape over the camera. Like, that's going to do any fucking good. Nerds. But I received a well-placed source has given me some information regarding Trump voter and indie rock musician Ariel Pink and his battle with Mexican Summer, the record label.
A source close to the family gave us some exclusive.
A source close to family is telling me that Mexican Summer is insisting that they can retain the rights to his catalog and not let him take them, even though under the agreement, Ariel retained the rights to the label deal. So basically what I'm saying is Mexican Summer wants to cut ties publicly, but continue to make that bread off his streams, which is a very, which, you know, it doesn't surprise me in the crooked music business, but I it's just something I had to share after the Ariel Pink discourse. And hopefully that is the last time we speak of Ariel Pink on this podcast.
So are they saying that because Ariel like slandered their good name, that they now retain the rights to his catalog? Did he like violate the catalog by?
I think there's going to be a legal battle, is what my guess is. I'm not sure. I can't speak on the terms of the contracts. Obviously, I'm not privy to that. But I do feel like there's about to be a struggle over the streams.
Damn, it's going to be the first time Ariel ever had to lawyer up for something that didn't involve like date rape.
I don't know about all that. I honestly don't know that much about the guy. That's the funny thing, is that I've never listened to his music. I just know what he looks like, kind of. And I knew that he made a song with Sky Ferreira.
Yeah, the only good thing he's done in this world, I assume.
Well, we are Sky Ferreira. Hi, this is a pro Sky podcast. I can't wait for her to come back. Mm-hmm. Everything is Embarrassing is an anthem that describes life at all times, and also a bop. And, you know, quickly before we speak to our guest, we did have a little discourse today in the group chat about the new hit single Driver's License that went to number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will have to dig deeper on How Long Gone Radio, our music show, obviously. But first listens, it went from being a bad song to a good song?
No. Off Rippington for me, I loved it because that's the kind of music that I like. But I do agree that she owes a little bit of her royalties to Australia's Lorde, fan of the podcast.
Yeah, Lorde, this is definitely just some Lorde.
Lorde spit out her Arvo toast this morning when she heard that song went number one. I'll tell you that right now. She threw her flat white against the wall and fucking called her agent. You know,
she checked out Spotify fresh new music and she said, mate.
No, but you know, I discovered this when I was researching the song, but it was actually co-written by a guy in a band called As Tall as Lions that used to open for Cartel. So it's a real full circle moment for me.
You talking about ATAL?
ATAL, yes. Which is, it's a very strange, like they didn't really, they did like okay, you know what I mean? They were like, there was a certain kind of band in that genre that like the other bands liked, but major labels didn't really care about. Mm-hmm. So they would get tours, but they couldn't get a deal. But so anyway, that guy's rich now, I guess.
Well, not yet, but he's well on his way.
He's well on his way soon, thanks to Spotify, who pays artists just great rates for streaming. He'll be stacking paper soon.
Yeah. 2021 is going to be pretty nice. He's going to have at least $7,000 clear after taxes. No problemo. I think he's more of a crypto guy. That's where he's going to be dumping a lot of his cashola.
I mean, very possibly. I guess we should get into crypto now that it's late. I feel like that'd be a funny thing for us to do.
When crypto first came out, I was just like, I don't understand this enough to learn it, and I don't care to take the time to learn it. So I'm just going to hope that it ends up being a scam and everyone loses their money, and then I'll be able to sleep at night. Except I'll feel bad for my friends who did invest a lot of money in it, but it seems like it is turning into a real thing.
I don't feel anyone that lost money on crypto. That's not a feeling I have. But we should talk about our guest and give her a jingle.
We should talk about her, and we should also talk to her.
Her name, I hope I'm saying this right, Lily Marotta? Marotta? What do you think?
Yeah, Marotta.
Marotta, Lily Marotta. She's the co-host with former How Long Gone guest Stephen Phillips Horst of a new podcast called Celebrity Book Club, produced by former guest and known ska fan Leon. I can't ever say his last name, so I'm not going to butcher it. The God, elite podcaster. But she's also an actress and who has been in. She was also on High Maintenance, a favorite of yours, I know.
Yeah, which unfortunately just got canceled. Yeah, I guess she has two T's in her name, so it's probably Marotta.
But yeah, this podcast looks really funny. And the first episode is about the classic Andre Agassi memoir, Open.
One of the only books I've read.
Where his dad makes him and his brother do speed before they play tennis when they're children. Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there.
Hitler Youth style.
Yeah, let's give Lily a call and see what she thinks about tennis and TJ as well.
Wonderful.
How Long Gone is brought to you by our dear friends at BetterHelp, Jason.
BetterHelp, you know, summer travel season is coming up. Luckily, my BetterHelp therapist also fancies themselves a bit of a travel agent. So for maybe the first half of our suite sessions, we're spent off, obviously off clock, going through, you know, hotels, ferries, car rentals, restaurant recommendations. It's as if I have two wives. I have two wives inside of me. And
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so it is a fun way to find and connect different therapists. You get one that you really like. You guys are gossiping. You guys are chit-chatting. You guys are talking about your personal interests. Next thing you know, it's time to actually do the work. So it feels good building those mental health relationships with people you actually like. And on BetterHelp, there are so many different therapists to choose from.
I don't like anyone. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/howlong today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howlong.
Nice.
How Long Gone is brought to you by Nutrafol. As you know, hair thinning is quite complicated. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health. And internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and most importantly, grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair.
Go ahead, give it a tug. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth suppy, with over 1 million people seeking thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with considerably less shedding. Thank God. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair for a limited time. Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code How Long, all one word. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists and professional stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled N-U-T-R-A-F-O-L. I got Raf on the nut.com promo code How Long. That's Nutrafol.com promo code How Long.
Hey there, overwhelmed foodies. Are you drowning in a sea of meal kit options, feeling like you're in a bad dating game where every contestant looks the same? Fear not, because amidst the chaos, there's one shining star worth your culinary affection. Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch that you've been dreaming of. Say goodbye to swiping left on lackluster meals and swipe right for the one brand that will make your taste buds swoon.
Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef design recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, I like to chop myself, or quick microwave meals that are assembled in minutes, Home Chef has you and your entire family covered for delicious meals, 30 options per week, and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. I'm keto now. Not only is it convenient, but it is also economical. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Mamma mia.
For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners, our listeners, 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/howlong. That's homechef.com/howlong for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. homechef.com/howlong. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. Lily, what's up? It's Chris Black with the How Long Gone podcast and my esteemed co-host, Jason Them Gene Stewart. How are you?
Lily, what's up, you little fucking rascal?
What's up? I'm so excited to finally be on a Straight Guys podcast.
Yeah, I know you've listened to 10 minutes of it, so you're all... Yeah,
can you tell us which 10 minutes you prepared with? It would really help us to kind of move forward.
Mm-hmm. You guys were talking about strip clubs, and one of you was like, I'm uncomfortable with them, and one of you was like sketched by one of you being uncomfortable with them. Ooh. You were like, why, dude?
I'm the one that's uncomfortable with them. Jason is the one who's a proponent, of course, if you couldn't tell by talking to us for 5 minutes as you prepared this sound system.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the straight bad boy, and he's the straight question mark, you know?
Got it. You're so like, do people think you're gay?
That's right.
I've been I've been accused of gay baiting before, but I can't help my looks.
Like,
he looks gay.
You look gay. You look gay.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what else. It's not like I do anything else. I mean,
if he looked any gayer, he'd have a dick hanging out of his mouth.
Maybe. I don't know what it is, but I did have a, we've talked about this before on the podcast, but in my younger days, I was a little heavier, and I had a large beard, and I did gain a pretty decent following in the bear community. Mm-hmm. I found out later.
Yeah. Classic.
I found out from a Tumblr post of my face that had 75,000 likes on it.
Damn.
Well, what was the name of that Tumblr page, by the way, Chris?
I actually don't remember.
Grizzly Man?
I was alerted to it, but I think now, I guess I'm not even an otter now. I don't even know where I stand.
You're just skin and bones.
So maybe you're like a middle-aged seal. Could be that's the vibe.
That is scarily accurate. I think I'm looking in the mirror now and trying to decide.
Not to say middle age. I just got the vibe when you kind of said years ago. I'm making kind of age assumptions here.
I'm 38 years old. How old did you think I was?
I think around that. So actually, that's not middle age. Middle age is 50.
No, I mean, I would say 38 is pretty middle age if we're going like, you know, mathematically speaking, the average lifespan is probably under 80, so he's probably already crested the halfway mark of life.
Right, and in medieval times...
Yes.
Well, I'm talking about nowadays. Medieval times, he would have already had 7 children and be dead. Yeah, yeah.
I think I've already dodged a death bullet, so I feel like if I was going to die young, it would have already happened, and now I'm going to live longer than I would like to, actually, is my guess.
You dodged the kind of the Amy Winehouse, Janis Joplin, Sid Vicious, you know.
Yes, and unfortunately, I think dying young is very cool because I'm immature. Only if you're famous.
Yeah.
He was almost a member of the 37 Club.
Yeah. The 35 Club doesn't really hit the same as the 27 Club, you know.
Well, I just turned 34, and that was a little depressing for me. I was like, okay, I'm middle-aged now.
How do you feel physically, though, Lily?
Oh, physically?
Walk us through your gut health.
Yeah, let's talk about what probiotics are you taking?
Lily, are those dogs barking after a long day?
I'll say this. I feel like I can take down, like, whatever, mostly.
Are you talking about sandwich-wise or what?
I'm talking about sandwich-wise. I'm talking about, like, peppers, like, Chinese. Like, I don't think I should. Like, I absolutely should lose weight, but, like, you know, I feel like I can do, you know, sausage and peppers and then Chinese and...
So you're eating a lot of peppers in your older years is what I'm gathering.
I don't know why I'm saying pepper so much. I think it was my first favorite vegetable. So, you know, I'm Italian, so, you know, peppers all around.
So sausage and peppers, mamma mia, that's...
Oh, yeah, manja, mamma mia, that's the spot.
Mm-hmm. Mother's milk.
What is... So you just said pepper is your favorite vegetable? That's twisted.
Yeah, to lead with pepper.
That's absolutely crazy.
What's your favorite vegetable? I think peppers, they're crunchy, they're fun.
They're water.
It's almost not a vegetable.
How do you feel about a green bell pepper?
Oh.
Oh, no. I mean, no, I'm thinking I love like a roasted red pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Is my number one. Green bell pepper, that's fine when it's along with the onions and a sausage.
Got it.
Sub.
See, when I think of green pepper, I think of like a, you know, being in South Georgia and stopping at Subway for a veggie sub. Mm. You know, that's where my head goes, unfortunately.
Nothing has that crisp tang like a green bell pepper. It's not for everyone.
Nothing sadder than getting a veggie sub at Subway.
I would disagree.
I agree. No, I...
Nothing sadder than consuming meat from Subway is what I would say.
Good point.
I mean, yes. Have you guys seen the new Subway protein bowls?
First of all, do not come on here and do sponsored content if we're not getting a cut.
I haven't had a chance to sink my teeth into one.
My bank is just cha-ching right now from Subway.
Yeah.
We'll let you sneak one plug in, but we're watching you now. I haven't tried it yet, but I have heard word of the bowls in some of my foodie circles. What can you tell us about it?
I think it's just, you know, obviously they're trying to get into bowl culture, but the picture I saw was just like piles of pepperoni and turkey in like a plastic bowl.
So they just take the container that the pepperoni slices are in that you used, and they just give you a fork?
Flip it. It's like getting, right, like from like a regular grocery store, like a sad catered meat tray, but like...
Okay, so like when you get a bowl from Chipotle, It's just like that, but instead of rice and beans, you get shredded lettuce.
You get shredded lettuce, probably if you're like, oh, I'll go in little lettuce. I'm talking pepperoni, you know, the roast beef, the ham.
If you have any sausage and peppers, that'd be great.
Throw it on.
Can I say definitively that it's very strange to think of pepperonis in a bowl? I really don't like that at all.
No, yeah, they should not be in a bowl.
We should try this, Jason. Jason, you should try this for the culture.
It fits in with a keto lifestyle, so it's got my attention.
Oh, you're keto.
I'm not keto, but I've dipped my toe in the keto jacuzzi before. Didn't work out well. It's a sad existence.
I always think if there is one diet, mm-hmm. keto would be the one, because you can just be like so nasty and be so like bacon and cheese and mm-hmm. you know, prosciutto, whatever. But
prosciutto gives me all the fuel I need to get through the day.
Yeah. I don't really understand what the keto diet is. I refuse to learn about it. I've kind of dodged it.
Chris,
for this
it's
long,
simply so putting your body in a state of ketosis, which allows it to burn calories and function at its peak. It's like putting the top unleaded fuel in it instead of the bottom. You know what I'm saying?
It seems gross, though, is my take.
Yeah, well, you're a vegetarian, so, you know. That's pretty obvious. That's not going to work out well for you, Chief.
Lily, Jason eats whatever, too. He's kind of known as like a steel stomach cat, but his favorite...
Okay, yeah. I love that, a steel stomach cat.
Yeah.
Meow!
Yeah, I have, just like a cat, I have a seafood diet. I see food and I eat it.
Don't come in here with your little Garfield jokes, dumbass. I unfortunately try to eat as little as possible to maintain a wayfish figure.
Oh, fabulous. Well, okay, so here I can see why people think you're gay.
Okay, well, look, I use the word waif freely, and if you want to condemn me for that, then you go right ahead.
No, I think it's amazing, and we need to talk more about, right, like, male, mm-hmm. elevate the straight male body figure, like the guy from Silverchair who was anorexic, to throw it back to kind of an alt place.
Yes.
Wait, the Silverchair singer was, or what?
He was anorexic, and he was like, we need to talk about male anorexia, and we do.
He was hot, though, right? He's hot.
Yeah, he's like a hot...
Chris, that's not helping perpetuate...
You're like, I'm awake. The guy from Silverchair was hot. No, I... And honestly, I'm jealous. I should be eating more. I want to lose, you know, 10 to 20. I should be eating Subway protein bowls.
Do you feel like the Subway protein bowls are appealing to you because now you're in front of the camera as a star?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm just like, you know, you see the photos and you're like, okay, how am I going to slim down, you know, but still be on the go. grab a Subway protein bowls.
Yeah, so you live in New York, so you must live life on the go, right?
Oh, totally life on the go. You know, obviously now it's a little more life in place, but mm-hmm. my day job is I'm a maid. So I'm...
Really?
I'm on
the
go.
Wait, this is fascinating.
So you're mating at... private homes, or
I'm mating in private homes. I used to do like some offices, but that's like not really in the works anymore. Okay. So, you know,
right?
I do.
How did you get into this?
I got into it because my friend was like, when I moved to New York, I was like working like freelance, like production jobs, and then like, you know, didn't have a job at some point. My friend was like, well, I'm working for this like green maid service that like employs artists. And then sadly I feel like it's like a drug deal now, he got me into it and I haven't been able to quit.
So do you like it because you just zone the fuck out and do it and you're just left alone? Because that appeals to me too.
That is what has become appealing. I mean, I always say I like want to get out of it, but it is like a nice day job where I can just listen to podcasts, listen to rock and roll, you know, headphones, know, make my own schedule.
So you get paid for self-care because you can listen to rock all day?
Exactly. Yeah. Rock all day long.
Damn.
Okay. How many clients do you have? If you don't mind me asking.
It's slimmed down mm-hmm. in the pandemic. But so now I have about like five.
Okay.
But before I was like, you know, mostly working like 3 to 4 days. So, you know, I'm doing the Upper West Side, you know, liberal set. I'm doing some funky Williamsburg moms.
Okay. What do you have a signature move?
My signature move is I'm like a green cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all natural products. But I, you know, sometimes you gotta sneak in the Windex.
Mummy's little secret.
She's
yeah,
a bad
exactly.
girl.
Exactly. Mommy's little medicine.
Like when you go to some hotels, they'll leave a little chocolate on the pillow, for example, or, you know, they'll fold the towel into a swan. Is there anything?
I'm much more like super sloppy made, where it's like, yet, like, I feel like my signature is like, okay, yes, I will like get on a ladder and like be cleaning like the corner of your ceiling, but I'm absolutely like leaving my weird Tupperware of like leftover pasta in your fridge. So
that's a good trade-off, though.
Yeah, I consider myself, you know, active, deep. You know, I'm getting in the court. A lot of people hire me for, like, you know, taking all the stuff out of your cabinets and, like,
yes, yes,
shit
a,
like that.
A classic New York City deep clean is, I would say, a yearly thing, if not more.
Yeah, with all these roaches and rats,
and the rats getting crazier.
The rats have been getting crazier.
I want to know what you've. I bet you've got some war stories for us. I feel like you've seen some shit that other people haven't seen.
I have to say that I did this clean recently that I you know, I was like, okay, I need more clients. I don't, do you guys know the Facebook page Queer Exchange?
No, I don't.
No.
Is it like Craigslist? Okay.
Craigslist for like queer people, where people will be actually very like, hey, hive mind, does anyone know any like awesome sauce, like empaths or, you know, like astrologists like in South Brooklyn? And then it'll be like 34 people like canceling each other for like one thing. But
damn, this sounds pretty cool, but continue.
So, but someone was like, oh, I need a clean. And I should have known, like, I shouldn't have, but I was like, I shouldn't have, you know, gotten a clean off there of my people. But it was, I did
don't
it.
Don't shit where you
was,
eat. Or don't clean
exactly,
where you eat.
And the apartment was so nasty. Just like, there was like an old dog. A cat wasn't there, but the litter was. And they wanted me to do the litter. Like, so like just piles of like pubes. And then it was like, okay, so it was like the apartment was so dirty, but this person used this new thing called like Tushy.
I'm familiar with Tushy. Because the bidet,
yeah,
but it's like, and the broke boy bidet that like attaches.
It's a poor man's Toto.
Yes.
Okay,
exactly. It's a poor man's Toto. So it's
we
like,
don't recognize that on this side, but go ahead.
Failing startup Tushy.
We don't want your ad dollars, Tushy. But go ahead. Yeah,
as I'm pushing Tushy. But I was like, this place is so nasty. You have these like new fresh ass like towels for Tushy that you're gonna like wipe your ass with, and then like wear
fresh ass towels. Mm-hmm.
Where do you draw the line?
Where are those towels going?
So that's a client that you will not be returning
that
to.
That was one who I will, yeah, not be returning to.
Fool me once, shame on you.
Yeah, can I ask you, though, because I, you know, I like to pay for services like that in cash money.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like some people don't like that anymore. I feel like I get resistance to that, and they would prefer a Cash App or Venmo payment. And I'm just like, are you the feds? Like, who wants that?
That's, yeah, because I definitely prefer
cash.
Though I guess some people are like, now I, in the pandemic, being like, I guess it's just like, well, I don't want like your, they think they're going to get like COVID from cash.
Oh my God. I would have already gotten cancer from snorting Coke through a bill if that was a thing that could really happen.
But, you know, not to put my sock drawer on here, but I do think I need a safe, because now it is that thing where I'm like, I have this cash and, oh God, I hope my accountant isn't listening.
Okay, Scrooge, are you taking baths in it? Like, what's the vibe?
You know, I'm just saying, like, you know, then there's the cash, and then I'm like, you know, don't want to put it in the bank account.
Yes,
so.
Yes. So what are you spending your cash on then?
My cash on probably like car maintenance.
Classic New Yorker response.
So the Bitcoin portfolio is not big then?
The Bitcoin, I have no Bitcoin. My girlfriend right now is waving her hands, telling me to talk about my cash. So
don't worry, this podcast is not geotagged. It's fine. And we protect all of our guests. Obviously, we have in-house attorneys that will protect you if something does come up.
Your address will only be given out behind the paywall. So whoever subscribes, they're the only ones who are going to get a hold of that.
Thank you for your support. Thank you to Spotify.
Okay, but so you're not buying drugs or anything like that, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, sure, I'll buy some weed sometimes. You know? Why not?
I understand. I think cash is very powerful, and I'm a person that is trying to save it because its demise is imminent, unfortunately.
Yeah, people hate cash now, you know?
In our lifetime. No. What kind of whip are you pushing?
It's pretty hot stuff. So I had a really dramatic car year because I had my father's car that literally broke down like every single day. And then
what year G-Wagon was that?
It was an 08, 07 Subaru.
Good year.
What kind, like the like real crunchy mom joint or like a...
Yeah, it was like the perfect, you know, lesbian car. It was like the 2000, okay. You know.
Quintessential.
Hatchback.
Did it come with the Elizabeth Warren sticker or did you put that on?
It's literally shocking every time I looked at it that there was no Warren coexist, faded Bernie. Coexist. Like, I find it like it just, yeah, it was, I would just break, I broke down in the middle of the street last year at NYPD tow truck, head to Toby. It was just, I was like,
Jesus.
Yeah. So then I sold that car on Queer Exchange because I really am obsessed with this page.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel like you might be an admin or a founder in this internet destination.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I really just came on here to make tons of
cash. You were able to flip it to a fellow grease monkey on queerexchange.com.
Exactly, and like they brought their friend who was a mechanic named Mohawk, who had a Mohawk.
You don't mind if Mohawk kicks the tires for a minute, do you?
And they're all like, yep. This is a good one. And I was like, okay.
Mohawk is the Subaru whisperer, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I absolutely. So flipped that and bought a 2008 Honda Fit, which is, I would say, less of a lesbian car and more of a divorced mom car.
But can I ask, why do you desperately want a car? Because in New York, it's just a pain in the ass. Is it something you just need?
Why do we keep a car in the city, babes?
Yeah, you don't keep it at the house in Montauk. It seems like a kind of a pain in the ass.
It was basically like I got addicted, like basically RIP, my father passed and I inherited his car. And then I just became like
a car person
into having a car. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a car person. And then it turned out my friend was like selling this Honda Fit, and I was like, good deal, you know, you can get out of the city, take a hike, or I can, you know, I really love it for being able to like, again, like drive to Jackson Heights or someplace in deep Brooklyn to get something to feed my stomach of steel. I can put the vacuum in there, you know, drive to work.
Okay.
Go on little, you know, road trips.
Yeah. So, well, speaking of that, how long until you move out of New York into wherever you're going to end up for the rest of your life? Your forever home, as one might say.
You know, I'm kind of feeling...
Where are you from?
I'm very just like, I'm from Boston.
Well, you definitely don't want to go back there, so...
Yeah, so not really planning on going back there, from Cambridge specifically.
Oh, that's chic, actually. That's the only good part.
I'm from Warren Country.
So far, you're the coolest person I've ever met from Boston.
Yeah, I would agree.
You guys don't like... Oh, wait, where are you guys from?
Jason's from Huntington Beach. You may have heard of it if you surf.
I do not. Oh. I wish I could. I have horrible balance.
Figured you threw the board on top of the Subaru and hit Rockaway.
How good. I do have a friend who is so that, you know...
How bomb would that be?
Small lesbian throws the surfboard on the car, goes, it's, you know, 5 a.m. I can't do a sport where you have to wake up so early.
No, I agree.
I get it. I think it's a little cultish, but I also think, I mean, the way people are so obsessed with it, it must be great when you really get it. It like really must be like life-changing.
Oh, yeah. You see God out there. But for me, yeah, I couldn't do that. Like, don't talk to me unless I've had my coffee is kind of where I'm at.
Insert here, coffee, Ivy.
Are you hiking then? Like, where are you going?
Yeah, I'm doing like a Harriman. I'm doing a Harriman hike. I love. I have a lot of friends whose parents have second homes. So that's kind
hell
of,
yeah. Shout out to rich friends. I know the vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Real New York shit.
So that not to brag, my girlfriend's parents do have a small home in the Hamptons that we like to escape
yeah, that's right. I knew Lily was a real shooter. She knows how to pick them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you said Montauk and you were right. You could
God, I've got you pegged.
you know, Warren sticker, Miss Cleo vibes.
So
over
what
here.
Do you what do you do when you go out to Montauk? Walk me through your Montauk. What do you do out there?
Oh my god. Well, I'm SH, South Hamps.
Oh, sorry. SH, my bad.
Yeah, I've never been to Montauk because I think Montauk is more so surfing culture.
Yeah. I meant to say
okay,
Hamptons.
Here we go. If it's summer, let's do this. It's a hot.
Let's get into it.
Summer day. You know, maybe we beg her parents to give us a weekend. They do. Go first stop, Bottlehampton. It's a massive liquor warehouse.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Load up. The deals there are unbelievable.
Okay. It makes freaking BevMo look like a gas station, I bet.
Never been to BevMo, but love the name. So, you know, maybe get a pouch.
Strike one.
I'm out. Load up. Okay. Go to the beach, which is like so much parking drama, of course, very New York, because it's like, I don't have a beach sticker. And it's, you know,
it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. So I get in a brawl. Okay. So go to the beach.
In a common street brawl.
Next day, wake up early. And then usually we like to go, we love to go clamming. Have little this off-road spot, and then we go dig for clams in this like shallow bay area. Get the clams,
and you just come out with handfuls of clam.
Yeah,
hey, yeah, we have a bucket. You know, get you just dig kind of wheelbarrow style. Get in the water and just dig.
You get after it.
Get the clams, go back, you know, take a glorious outdoor shower. You know, maybe use a charcoal scrub or something.
Ooh, damn.
Yeah, that, go off. You know, it's afternoon.
This is a nude shower?
Oh, so now I do shower nude. I don't know about you guys.
Okay. Hamptons. It's a little different. Okay.
I know. It gets a little sexy over there. Mm-hmm. I always think of how that episode of Seinfeld when Kramer asks Jerry if he can watch him shower to see how he showers so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm claiming I've showered. You know, I'm going to put on, you know, one of my big pairs of skater shorts and a tee, maybe. And then I'm going to hit the driving range for my next.
Whoa. Hold on. I didn't know you were a linksman.
Yeah. Tiger who?
What are some of your favorite brands of big skater shorts? We're into fashion.
Yeah, we love to talk about fashion.
Yeah, I've been rocking a Volcom that I
really.
Yeah, that I got from, I don't know, Nordstrom Rack. You know, I know most people would do a Dickies, but I have to say I do have sadly womanly hips, and
And you make those Volcoms work, don't you?
The Dickies, the waist, I do have. It's too tight.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, it's a little too starchy for a comfortable oversized short. I want the forgiving waistband of a Volcom.
Where does the Volcom hit like lengthwise? Are we talking?
Are we below the knee or are we above the knee?
We're right at knee.
Okay.
That's not crazy. If it was below knee, I was going to have an intervention. But go ahead.
No, it's not like full JNCO. Yeah, I'd say. And then I have, you know, I feel like some thick Wrangler denim shorts a little right above knee. Mm-hmm. I would love to honestly get some lighter weight shorts.
We can talk pot. I'm a big shorts guy myself.
Yeah, so. Jason. Okay. Jason's very tall, so he has problem finding pants that are his length. So he's kind of a shorts expert. You've come to the right place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank God. I've already been kind of looking online. I was looking at these Stussy shorts, and I was like, I know we're off season, but for shorts buying.
Well, luckily, Stussy is a Laguna Beach, you know, West Coast vibe, so their shorts are always in season there.
Right. I was like, is that corny? Oh, I also, that's so sad. I didn't even know. Is it Stussy?
It is Stussy, but Stussy, I've heard Stussy as well.
I've heard Stussy before in the 90s. Yeah, I don't think that's like outlandish.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay.
But I like that you really keep it real with true core skate brands.
Exactly.
And yeah, I mean, I'm such a poser. I feel like in so many aspects of my life, I do not know how to skateboard because I desperately wanted to skateboard as a child. My parents were like, you know, they were like, you need to master. I just don't think they wanted me to skateboard. They're like, you need to master rollerblading first.
Damn.
And then we'll consider.
That's fucked up.
That's child abuse.
I'll call child services.
DFAX, this is Chris Black. I'm a podcaster. I have something to report. We're at the driving range, though.
Yeah, we're at the driving range. So I really haven't played much on like an actual course, but I love the driving range. Mostly, honestly, because I don't have really any golf buddies. Because I'm friends with a lot of gay guys.
So you love just grabbing a bucket, a couple of cold ones.
Oh, yeah. Grabbing a brew. They have beer. Grabbing a brew. Grabbing a bucket.
Don't bother me.
Hit them.
You just have a so you're wearing Volcom shorts. Your belly's full of clams. You got a Corona Light in your hand, and you're just hacking away at your 7-iron.
Belly full of clams.
Belly. Well, I think at that point, honestly, the clams. I'm cooking the clams later. I'm feeling a little bit lighter.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You're working up a clam appetite on the links.
Exactly. Burning off the cows to, you know.
Do you get like a Moz stick appetizer at the driving range?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what's so funny is they like upgraded their like snack bar. So before it was just like tenders, and now they're trying to do a little bit more of a gastropub vibe where they have one of those iron stamps that griddles into the burger.
Okay, so not all of COVID is bad, is what you're saying. There's been a couple silver linings on the clouds.
Yeah, and again, you know, a sport you can do distanced. Mm-hmm.
So they stepped their gastro game up for 2021.
Exactly. They also have a peanut butter burger, which I have not tried.
What the fuck?
Yeah, there's Moz sticks.
Wait. I, Jason, I can tell you've heard of this. I'm unfortunately unfamiliar. Could you give me some details?
Only in the Hamptons, brother. Those people.
They're crazy, you know? Maybe it's like they're protein fiends.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's literally just a cheeseburger with some peanut butter on it, and some freaks out there like it.
I think it's a shocker, you know, shock menu piece.
It's a shocker.
I'm a protein. I'm addicted to protein, but I would not eat that.
No.
Okay, so your life sounds very cool, and your Hamptons life is 10 times cooler.
It really is nice. I have to say, I'm lucky. I thank God. Thank my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. But also, Lily, nobody's perfect, so I feel like I want to know what the dark side of your trip to the Hamptons is.
I would say that, you know, the dark side is
cleaning time?
Well, you know, you
before you leave,
want to make the house perfect as once
so
you've came, you know.
Okay. We're talking about coming as a, Jason, arriving your, as Jason. A guest, not
yes,
ejaculatory.
Arriving as a guest, got it. Leaving,
and
so.
Also, you're. Oh, and that makes me realize she's a maid. Of course she can come over. She's going to leave the place looking better than it was. So that puts a little cleaning pressure on you, I could assume.
Yeah, it's almost even pressure. I have to prove myself. But I actually remembered actually a way better dark side of the Hamptons story for you guys is that.
You kill a guy?
Almost. We went, my girlfriend and I and her sister went to a all-male Magic Mike style review at the club down the road, which was like on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And they bought tickets. I was so excited. And the guy calls me and he's like, hey, this is like Tony from like, you know, JR's Exotic Dance Crew. Like, we want to offer you, you know, front row seats, but if you actually can come tonight because like the club is closed tomorrow. And so I was like, okay, yeah, like absolutely. And then tried to get a free bottle out of them. I was like, this is really disrupting my plans. Can you throw in a bottle?
Can you give me some Ciroc coconut for my going out of my way?
Absolutely. He was like, well, you'd have to talk to the bar about that. Like, I'm just the manager of like the all male, dance crew. So we get there. We realize why they were begging us to come. Cause it was just us, one bachelorette crew and like two other girls, no, like empty club. So the pressure to participate was,
are these guys hotties?
Yeah, I would say they were hot. They were like, you know, not as hot as, what's his name, Channing Tatum. They were, they're all very buff.
They were a Hampton 6, Hampton 7.
Do you think they were on coke?
I don't think so.
You're saying these guys that are dancing for no one in a roadside motel in the Hamptons are doing this sober for the love of the game?
I feel like afterwards, I feel like they're drunk. I don't know if they seem kind of, you know what I mean? Their moves seem smooth in a way. I've never made love to a man. I've only kissed one in a seventh grade. Spin the bottle, and no one was like participating, and I was, and they kept on going around. By the end, I was just like, okay, fuck it, yes, I absolutely will take a lap dance. So they like bring me on stage, and then he lifts me up like truly has never been lifted like this, lays me down on a wrestling mat, throws a towel down on my crotch, and then pours, I mean, not pours, whatever, sprays whipped cream on the towel. Meanwhile, he's like gyrating the bride, who's like so uncomfortable. He blindfolds her, puts her hand on a dildo, and like, so she fully thinks it's like his dick almost.
There's not more.
The final crescendo is it's like one of those dildos you can put water in to fake cum, and then he fake cums all over me with the water.
What?
Holy shit.
That is darker than I could have ever imagined.
Yeah, I was like, dark story, huh? I have to clean a lot for, and then I was like, oh wait, yeah, I have a better chill. I was laughing harder than I've truly, I think, like ever laughed in my entire life.
So you got wetter than front row at a Gallagher show, is what you're saying?
Oh yeah, soaked.
But no poncho was supplied.
That really is crazy.
And then at the end, they're like mingling, and I like made a joke to one of them. I was like, wow, like this is my first time like with a man. And I think he, assuming that he would, like, look at me and be like, okay, like, you're a big lesbian. But he actually was like, I think he just thought I was, like, a virgin. And
he just felt bad for you?
God. Yeah, and then he felt, got, like, really uncomfortable and was so, like, oh, my. And then just kind of, like, walked away.
How did it feel to be lifted up off of your feet very easily by a strong man?
I gotta say, it felt good.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Good to I know. Was like, wow, okay. I was like, this is...
You get what they're into, kind of. You see what they can see in it.
Score one for the fellas is what you said.
Score one
exactly.
For the fellas.
Exactly. I get it. The strong arms, you just lifted, like, you know. Well, it makes also... It made me feel thin, which is, you know, I don't normally feel like a waif like you, Chris.
Oh, no. See, Lily, that's the thing. I don't feel like one. I'm chasing that feeling. That's what I'm saying.
Can I recommend getting lifted by a strong, strong man? Maybe one of the bears that...
I'm going to be reunited with Jason soon, and I will ask him to lift me. And I don't know if he's a little bird-like. His chest is kind of small, and his arms aren't great. But I think maybe if he knew how good it would make me feel, he could kind of summon the powers.
Yeah, I'm no Magic Mike, but, you know, I can get him up a little bit. I can plop him up onto a kitchen counter.
There we go. Exactly. Yeah. You could do that. Yeah, you could do that. That's cool. And you have nice high counters in your house, too, so it'd be a little extra.
That's right.
You know, it'd be a little extra. That's cool.
Well, Lily, this your Hampton's life is very twisted, and I like it.
Yeah, no, you guys come join me. I'm down to go again to the all-male review. Let's do it.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. Well, let's talk about your actual podcast, which is the thing that just came out, or it's coming out.
No, it is already out. We have one episode out already, and one coming out tomorrow. It's called Celebrity Book Club with Stephen and Lily. I think my co-host has been on your pod before.
Stephen was on a couple months ago. He was.
Yeah.
You know how funny he is. That little fucker. It's too good.
Yeah.
But you guys have like a long history, right?
We have a long, a torrid history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically, you know, we've been friends since middle school.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah. That's what makes me feel old, because people are like, oh, how long have you guys been friends? You're like, oh, 20 years.
20 years, and we didn't meet in the womb.
Yeah, didn't meet in the womb. So, you know, we were, you know, a small, you know, in middle school, I spotted him. I was like... This, I can tell he's gay. You know, I was on the lookout for other gays.
Okay.
I was like, he seems fun. You know, he seemed a little nerdy. I overheard him talking about Pokemon. That wasn't totally my vibe, but.
Any port in a storm, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
He was peacocking in middle school?
When you say peak, was he peacocking middle school?
That, I mean, more so like putting on a physical display of something to attract the attention of other people.
Oh, yeah, you know, he was quite, I feel like, nerdy. You know, he was kind of, I think, actually trying to fly under the radar. Oh, okay. But
well, how could you tell he was gay then?
The mannerisms, you know.
Okay, copy that.
You know, the voice, the wrist, shall I say, you know.
The wrist?
But, you know, yeah, was he the stature? Yeah. But, you know, I think I overheard him, you know, talking, and I was like, okay, this guy's funny. He was, you know, wearing an all, you know, very, he would wear primary colors, yellow, orange, or the Old Navy kind of bold primary colors.
Classic Americana.
Nothing says gay like Old Navy. You know, that's what I think of.
And I was new to the school. You know, I had a few friends, but I was like, okay. And then I worked up the courage, you know, to ask him to go see the cheerleader movie Sugar and Spice, dark comedy. Wow. If you guys saw that.
I'm sure it holds up.
Sounds good.
Flash forward, you know, we both moved to New York City, became comedians. But, you know, all throughout, or, you know, we've always loved celebrity culture, but also kind of the rush of the autograph, you know, trashy memoirs. But
it's a great idea for the podcast.
Yeah, it really is.
We had been, you know, I feel like that's mostly what we read anyway. And we had been, you know, talking about it years ago. If we were going to do a pod to do it about all the celebrity memoirs, we've already read like Terry Hatcher's memoir, Burnt Toast, Star of Desperate Housewives.
We're familiar.
Our next episode coming out is a high school fave of ours, the world's first supermodel, Janice Dickinson's memoir.
Oof. You started with Agassi, who's a big, this is a big tennis forward podcast. Jason and I are both big players.
Shit. Okay.
That book is really something. Did you know what you were expecting, or was it
absolutely
a little
not? I feel like we chose Agassi because we had been like recording a bunch. Like we've been recording for like 2 years, but
really,
so yeah, but we like
so finally, you got a lot in the can.
We had a lot in the can, but then you know some of the stuff sounded out of date, and you know a lot has happened this year. So really have to.
Not everything was as evergreen as you would have hoped it to be.
Exactly. So finally putting it out, we were like, want to start, you know, fresh. And we were like, let's do something kind of unexpected, maybe, for like a gay duo. Let's not, you know, start out with like some campy actress. Though, of course, we love them. But we were like, you know, I had heard people liked the Agassi book. And we were like, let's do a straight male athlete, like, you know, just to kind of be a little different. But then reading the book, I was obsessed. I really just knew Agassi as like, as I say in the pod, like as Brooke Shields' husband in the 90s. I really, you know, and as a tennis player, but I really didn't know that he was like the most like badass tennis player. And just what an emotional journey that book goes on.
No, it's crazy. I mean, his relationship to the game, everything about that is like really interesting, I think. But I'm glad you guys started with that because I do think it is unexpected. And I think that book is I feel like that's one of the most popular sports memoirs that has crossed over into kind of every person. You know what I mean? I feel like the lore of it is strong enough where like people who have no interest in tennis have read that.
Exactly. Yeah, like reading I was like, I got free tickets once to the US Open and I saw Serena, which was amazing. Oh, Craigslist, crazy stuff. But yeah, it was like reading that. I was like, I'm, you know, on the edge of my seat about like this game that he's talking about, the US Open. And I don't even really care about tennis.
That's the power of a book written. I mean, he wrote that. Somebody wrote that with him, correct?
Yeah, that's the other thing. He wrote it with this guy. I pronounce his name wrong. J.R. Moringer. Who wrote some like Pulitzer?
But you would say, as an expert, you would say most celebrity memoirs have a co-writer.
Yeah, I honestly don't think there is one.
Yeah, can you think of one that was not?
Okay, I will. I feel like this book that Rosie O'Donnell wrote is so unhinged that I wonder if that one actually did not have a ghostwriter. But I really, if there's not a ghostwriter, there's like an editor doing a lot of work. So
a heavy hand with a Sharpie.
What era is the Rosie book? Like 90s?
Yeah, it's 90s. It's like era. I was a huge fan of her show. So it's like post her show. So like late 90s. And it's all about actually how she gets like scammed by this woman who's pretending to be a pregnant teen.
Cool. That sounds like a great memoir.
Yeah, it's really just more of a, and like how she would just like, she wanted to like quit the talk show at the top of her game to like focus on her like adoption organization and to save this woman and like just focus on her scrapbooking. Like you can really tell kind of her spiral through it. So it's,
you could do a whole true crime podcast just about that.
Yeah, that's the true crime feature. But I would say, yeah, with Agassi, it was like, and it's, there's so much like fun stuff that he talks about. It's like Vegas, he gets really into his, you know, relationships, and he's, you know, not afraid to be vulnerable and like talk about, you know.
Well, it's interesting because in the tennis community, he's kind of like a recluse. You know, he's like not really, like a lot of those guys have academies and they start this and they start that. But he, I believe he started a charter school in Las Vegas, and his son is like a baseball player who just got a scholarship to college.
Oh, really?
So it's like he's not, he doesn't, yeah, he, like a lot of those guys just do kind of a victory lap as like a commentator. They start an academy or, you know, like I said, whatever.
Right. I know he talks about the school a lot, right, in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Which starting a charter school is the most like rich guy ego shit of all time.
Oh my, no, I know. I mean, that was what in the book, it's like when he's like, oh, you know, it is like the celebrity like ego thing. He's trying to be like so humble. He's like, I didn't want to put my name on it, but my investors told me I had to. And it's like, sure. You didn't want to like name it the Andre Agassi Academy.
Yeah, I'm definitely naming my school after me. I mean, there's no question.
Lily, what is it about celebrity memoirs that you guys are so drawn to?
For me, it is the little details. If you get a memoir where someone, I feel like, writes, you know, my favorite type of memoir is the one where they write like it's a phone conversation.
Because it clearly was.
Yes, because it clearly was. And it's just like, you know, tapes and tapes of someone talking. You know, it's like the details of like, it, you know, with Agassi, where he talks about getting so mad at Brooke Shields watching her film Friends because Matt LeBlanc kissed her hand. And so he drives for 3 hours and smashes his whole apartment in a rage.
I like when you retell it.
It's those little details, mm-hmm, where you're let in. It's, you know, with Jessica Simpson's memoir.
That's on my Kindle, but I have not read it yet. Same with Demi Moore.
Say Paige Turner.
Well, I'm a big John Mayer fan, and I'm worried about the slander.
Oh, well, watch out. You're a John. I already, not to ruffle your feathers, but I didn't like John Mayer, and I hated him after the book.
Ooh. So if you're a fan of John Mayer after you read this memoir, you won't be anymore. If you've got a heart in your body.
I don't, and I love his music. I can look past him calling Jessica Simpson sexual napalm on Howard Stern.
Oh, yeah, that's, I don't really have a problem with that. It's more like, spoilers, just like his manipulation of like him playing guitar for his parents for her parents while they're broken up. So like to get
Lily,
her parents.
Lily, he has a gift. How is he not supposed to share that with Joe? How is he not supposed to share that?
I would choose Jack Johnson over John Mayer, gun to my head.
Oh,
if I had
my God.
To
Lily, no, thank you for joining us. This podcast is over. This podcast is fucking over.
With those Volcom shorts, that comes as no surprise that you're a Johnson head.
Good point. You dress for the music you want.
Little straw fedora on my head.
Yeah, he makes some clam digging music. Well, are there any celebs out there who have not written a memoir that you would love to see the most?
You know, I was just thinking I would love a Martha Stewart memoir.
Ooh, that's a good
one. Great call.
Now I want to read John Mayer's memoir. I bet that would be, I would love
juicy.
It probably.
I feel like Mayer doesn't kiss and tell though.
He will eventually because the money will be too good. And he's also, if he writes a memoir, he'll go down history as one of the most legendary stick men of all time. Mm-hmm. And there's only one way to solidify yourself is to, you got to do the book.
Here's my problem with him is that like I get people like, oh man, he's a fucking great guitarist and he's like torn with the dead now. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's just like his voice to me is just too mom music for me.
His singing voice, not his speaking voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, voice. No, yeah, yeah. I agree with you.
It's so smooth.
It gets under my skin and directly into my heart is where it goes, guys.
You kind of pour a bath, you know, what everybody say, you know, scented salts and stuff, put on some John Mayer.
I listen to Mayer, you know, not that often. It's there's a couple records that are driving music for me, I feel like. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, I have been driving a little more long distances, and I have listened to more Mayer than maybe I usually would. But Lily, if I played Slow Dancing in a Burning Room for you and you didn't tear up, I would be concerned.
Okay, challenge accepted. I don't know his catalog that much because I think I just know the hits and I was turned off. So
Slow Dancing in a Burning Room is kind of like a fan favorite that really goes off live. You know what I mean? It's got a great solo. And it's just a beautiful
I'm
sentiment.
Dying at that. You're like, you haven't fucking heard Mayer till you heard his live shit.
Yeah, you haven't heard him until you've heard him pick the Paul Reed, you know. It's about a relationship crumbling, you know, and it's something that everyone can relate to, and I would be shocked if it didn't move something inside of you.
The only thing that's moving inside of her is those sausage and peppers.
Is it just moving around?
That's what I was about to say. She doesn't seem convinced, and you know what? I didn't think I was
really
going to convince
don't.
You, but I had to try.
Well,
what the fuck are you listening to?
I would say this is my embarrassing, what I would say, quote unquote, is better live is Ani DiFranco. So,
ooh,
well, that's no, that's unfair. That's unfair because that's the music. That's like
the music.
No,
of my
that's
people.
Not that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Ani
that's
DiFranco
not that embarrassing.
She is the lesbian John Mayer. More or less, right?
Yeah. Well,
that's
just
true.
To be like, and I like her like funkier later albums. I guess I hate when people are like, oh, this is my guilty pleasure. This is embarrassing. I feel like, you know, if you love something, you love it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree. I agree
with
that.
Pleasure.
I agree with that.
So I
no, John Mayer is not
you.
A guilty pleasure. John Mayer is. I don't have guilty pleasures. Jason knows. I'll bang the killers in the truck anytime. Fuck all y'all. Okay.
Much to my dismay.
Killers in the truck. Obsessed. I'm rock. Killers in the truck.
Killers in the truck.
I understand though. I think that. But I mean, when Jessica Simpson's memoir came out, I mean, the big thing was the John Mayer stuff. That was like one of the biggest storylines that was like, you know, quoted in Page Six and stuff. But I do need to read that. I think, you know, can I suggest a couple for you guys?
Oh yeah, bring it on.
Rob Lowe.
Oh, well, you know, that is on our list because we did the Demi book, and it's super funny because in the Demi book, she says she doesn't even remember sleeping with him and talks about that, how he talks about sleeping with her in his memoir. So that's absolutely
that's
on
so
the
cool.
list to kind of side by side.
You talking about Demi Lovato?
No, no.
Oh, sorry. Demi Moore.
Okay.
Demi Moore.
Demi Moore.
Scared me
Strip
for a second.
Tease.
I've read both of I've talked to this before, but his... The first one's just insane because he was like neighbors with the Sheens. Like that's how he got famous. He's not even like it's all just everything that happens to him is insane. It's like, yeah, then my agent set me up on a blind date. It was Janet Jackson. Then I did every single story is like absolutely insane and just gets crazier and crazier and has so many famous people in it.
Life is cool when you're a really hot guy, okay?
It's true. And yeah, Rob Lowe is kind of a king for me because he's a longtime sober guy. He's still hot. He's apparently a good father. You know, it's something.
He's tan as hell.
Yeah, exactly.
He looks
great.
Extremely fit.
And the range.
From Parks and Rec to St. Elmo's Fire.
Chris, what's another wreck?
Other recommendations? I mean, I would say if you're really looking to clown, the Andy Cohen memoir is really something.
Oh, wow.
If you want to hear about him on the yacht with, you know, like Barry Diller. And like the people that he also, I mean, I knew Andy Cohen was a power player, but the people that he hangs, it's insane the level that he's on.
So here's my cue about the Andy Cohen though, but like, does he dish or it like, I guess that's what I'm looking for. Okay. Like let's say the Jane Lynch, I feel like I've used this a lot. The Jane Lynch memoir is like pretty boring. Like she's very just like, and then this happened, and then this happened. And she's like, and then I did a play with like, you know, Amy Poehler. Is Andy Cohen, is he going in?
Is he down to clown?
He's pretty down to clown. My favorite part is that he talks about he constantly is getting like a 2-hour massage at like midnight, and he falls asleep on the table, and it's like, bro, we know that whoever this is sucking your dick. Like, we know what's going on here. We know you're either getting a hand job, a blow job, or you're having sexual intercourse with this masseuse, and you won't say it, and it makes me crazy.
That is great because it's just a hint. It's like you obviously. You are getting
yes. He has the same masseuse. He has the same masseuse come over multiple times a week for 2 hours at midnight.
And he writes about it and is just like, "Yep." And then every night my masseuse comes over.
With his schedule, that's the only time he has to get a 2-hour massage.
Yeah,
but I mean, to be massaged to sleep every day, how nice must that be?
He's very rich.
Yeah, I would love to do.
Always cool.
Gay guys, kind of. We just did also an upcoming episode is Chased in Buttigieg, which is a book I
do not recommend. You know, Derek Blasberg today said, "I can't believe two of my favorites share a birthday: Pete Buttigieg and Dolly Parton." I was like, "This fucking guy, who fucking likes Pete Buttigieg? Pete Buttigieg is a joke."
I feel like the people who like Pete Buttigieg are like moms who accepted their gay children late and are just like trying to impress them like later and are just being like,
really
"Ugh, I love Pete.
He's love one Pete. Of y'all, isn't he?" So that's a thing.
Yeah, I'm loving Pete. And then the child is like, "I absolutely hate him."
I forget he's gay.
That's literally the only thing I know about him.
Well, because what's sad about it is I feel like his whole personality is him trying so hard to be the straight, to be like, "I'm just like one of you guys in middle America. I roll up my sleeves and I have an IPA on Sunday afternoon after a good walk with my beagles," you know, like.
Well, I'm sorry. So what is Chasten? What is this book cover?
So Jason's, it's so crazy. It's like he should not have been allowed to write a memoir because he's like, again, younger than me. It's just all about him working at Starbucks. And then like,
No, that's so sick.
It's like, I worked at Starbucks while I was getting my grad degree at DePaul. It's like, this does not need to be printed.
So Avente, that means it's the biggest one that's 30?
Yeah, no, it's truly that level of joke of like someone just going into Starbucks being like, "Can I get a large?" And some of the Starbucks person being like, "Sorry, we don't have a large."
It's that level.
And it's supposed to prove that he also is this, you know, "I have student loans, middle America, I am the everyman thing.
Where do you, do you guys have an end goal for this? It seems like the way you've rolled the podcast out so far has been very impressive and professional and strategic.
Well, thank you.
Much more so than other pods where they're just like, we did it, just kind of like shit it out and hope it goes well.
Well, I think it's honestly because we've actually have been recording for so long, it gave us about 2 years to really think about how we were gonna
strategy
put it out to strategy. And then we started working with Leon Nafok of Prologue Projects, and then they
big dog. Leon's also been on this podcast. We're big fans of Leon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, huge fan, huge fan.
Lehive,
Leon Hive.
Would you call him the executive producer of your podcast? Is that what you
say? Yeah, I would call him the executive producer.
Does he get points on the back end?
Yeah, what kind of points does he get?
You get a little taste of the action?
Points?
Yeah, when you guys sell to Netflix, does he get a little percentage?
Oh, yeah, I think he will. You know? And he deserves it.
I like that because we like to, we're big on credit.
You
want to
know the
conjure?
You know, of course, I don't have my lawyer here on hand.
Yeah, fuck Bitcoin. Invest in Lily.
I was hoping your girlfriend was a lawyer for some reason, so that's unfortunate to hear that she's not.
Oh, she's not. She's a publicist.
Oh, really?
I think of her as very businesswoman-esque. She's, it's books all day over here because she's a book publicist. So she does mostly publicity for graphic novels. So it's book over in this apartment.
Wow, you guys are real nerds over there. I like that.
Truly.
How do you guys like prioritize reading time at home, or does it just happen naturally?
I'm mad. No. you know, it just happens. naturally.
This is a personal question because I, you know, I'm trying to increase my reading.
No, I would say, you know, she's definitely a much faster reader than I am. I'll look over and she's on her phone and I'll be like, oh, she's on her phone. Then I realize she's whipping through a fan fiction about Chinese warriors. So she reads much faster than I do. And now I would say I'm a slower reader, but I mean, now with the pod, I really do have to prioritize reading. And it feels like, you know,
because you're reading with a purpose.
I'm reading with a purpose. I think before, you know, I had 5 books open. Okay, this is on my Kindle. I'm halfway through this. I'm reading on the train here. And now it's kind of more like, okay, we're recording every Monday. It's, you know, Sunday night. It's homework time. Let's finish this. But it's enjoyable because it's a memoir.
So you're reading a full book a week.
Yeah, can you believe? Grad school vibes. Like, I've never been, but I can only imagine.
No, I mean, that's actually really impressive, but I think you're right. I think you picked the perfect genre for that, because those books are usually, if they're salacious enough, they're page turners.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, the Jessica Simpson, that was full page turner. I would say that thing, it's like prioritize reading, you know. It's like, don't worry, I'm still getting in my TV. But sometimes, like with a book like Jessica Simpson, I would choose that over watching TV.
Move over, Bridgerton.
I would too.
So yeah, people talk about the Jessica Simpson memoir like it's the Godfather 2 of celebrity memoirs. It's pretty much in like the top 5, I'm assuming?
I think it's going in there as top 5.
How much sex is in it?
There is a lot of sex, but more just kind of in a descriptive way where she's like, you know, it's the emotion.
Let me ask you a very direct question, Lily. Was Nick Lachey hit in the back or was he not?
So this is what's crazy. She literally, that's what I'm saying, she made him wait. And this, the whole book is about him. I mean, a lot of the book is him being like, hey, so I'm seriously like so horny and like I do like love you and I'm trying to wait. And she's just like, no, I am like a God-fearing Christian. Like, we need to get married before we fuck. And so he proposes. God. Like, it's really, because at that time, you know, when it was Christina and Jessica and Brittany, and they're all saying they're virgins, and you were like, they can't actually be virgins. She was really making, and Nick Lachey was crazy. He was like 28, and he waited, what, a year?
Yeah, but Nick Lachey had been doing work before that. I mean, those 98 Degrees tours, oh my God, I bet he was running through it.
He's pounding a lot of poon.
Yeah, the temp, yeah, and now, you know, I'm sure he seems very happy with Vanessa.
I'm glad everyone landed on their feet at the end of the day, except for...
Oh, and you know, and she talks about, but you can tell she is so Christian that way, where it's like, she is like, you have to wait, but then, like, she's always like, is talking about sex, like later on with like John Mayer and her current husband, who she had a very erotic relationship with Johnny Knoxville. So it's actually a lot of longing and waiting.
Yeah, I knew Foxy Noxie was trying to hit on set, but they didn't seal the deal.
Look,
he was my like middle school beard crush. You know, when people were like, "Who's your celebrity crush?"
Well, Knoxville's into a little edge play, like all of us.
It was a lot of edge play.
Oh my God,
it works, guys.
Jason loves talking about edge play. Lily, thank you for joining us.
Oh my God, this was so much fun.
You're a superstar. I love the podcast. I love the concept. I love everyone involved. I'm very happy that it is out in the streets for people to listen to. You said new episodes every Monday?
New episodes every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, hump day. It's called Celebrity Book Club with Stephen and Lily at CBC Wednesday. The Pod on Twitter.
It's nice to finally have a hump day fix.
Ugh.
So thank you for that.
Right.
And check out the story about both of you and W. I love the fashion. I love the photos. You guys look great.
Oh, yeah. My friend Julia Burlingham did those photos. They were taken at Spain Bar, RIP, for, you know, New York bar heads.
God, New York is dying. Am I right?
Friend Leibowitz.
And I can't even talk about that anymore. Jesus Christ. Okay. And... We will be, Jason and I both will be waiting with bated breath for our invites to Montauk and the Mail Review.
Not Montauk.
I'm sorry.
Southampton.
Southie.
Yeah. Southie.
Southie.
We'll be waiting for our invite to Southie.
Yeah, once all this is over with, this madness, I can't wait to pull up some clammies with my fam.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we could, and you can blast John Mayer for me, you know, on the way to the Mail Review, so.
Honestly, me and you sitting in Volcom shorts, eating clams, listening to John Mayer sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It's talk about edge play.
Yeah, I mean, running over a townie at 3 a.m. and then having a blood pact.
I'm trying to get away with murder like Matthew Broderick in Southampton.
Oh, come on.
I'm this generation's Ted Kennedy, so you know.
Good. I can see that. I can hear that in your voice. Thank you for joining us. Everybody check out the podcast and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you guys.
Wagwan, Lily.
Ciao ciao.
Later. It's not a silly little moment. It's not the stone they fall to calm. This is the deep and dying breath. This love that we've been working on. Can't seem to hold you like a wall.